produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. It seems like it's been a long spell, but it's that time of the year where we are anxiously looking forward to the holiday season and enjoying family activities together as we seemingly have been doing all year already. But it's a wonderful thing. On a personal note, we've been very excited in our family with our oldest grandson. Is now a member of the University of Memphis football team, playing in the position of offensive lineman, offensive tackle. So we're excited about that, and we've been enjoying University of Memphis football a little bit more this year than in previous years. So tune to hear what may happen in the foreseeable future. He's making great progress, and we're proud of this young man. He has come a long way from his beginnings back in elementary school playing football. It's been a long journey, a hard journey. He's overcome many challenges, but we have been very pleased at the interaction that we've had as his grandparents to help him along the way. We love this young man, and we want to wish Kevin well. So today, I've been thinking about a variety of topics and things that we could discuss, and this is going to be kind of a combination of things, but let me start off with some humor, if I might. So, I heard about a mother who noticed that her son was missing at the start of church, so she went outside to look for him. She found him sitting by the road with his head in his hands, looking upset, and she asked him why he wasn't coming in. He said, "I'm frightened of the teenagers, and nobody likes me or talks to me anyway." She said, "I'm not taking any more of this nonsense from you. You have to come in. First, you have to take the sacrament. It's a commandment. Second, you're 46 years old. And third, you are the bishop." I bet you didn't expect that to come as the concluding part of that joke. In any event, I'm sure all of us have had days where we have felt like we just didn't fit in or didn't want to be there or to be involved. But inevitably, it seems that no matter how difficult it may be to begin something like that, it's not long into it that we realize, "I'm so glad I came. I'm so glad I'm here. There are things I'm hearing. There's things I'm experiencing. There's things that I'm feeling. And now I know why I'm here." So as we think about the here and now and the things that we're doing in life, I want to share a couple of kind of modern-day parables, if you will. First of all, let me share with you the message that was given on Sunday, September 24th, 2023, by Lloyd Newell, who is the spokesperson for the broadcast of Music and the Spoken Word. His message starts out as follows. Years ago, a couple planted a vegetable garden for the first time, eagerly looking forward to fresh produce later in the year. They carefully selected plants, placed them in good soil, and set the sprinklers for regular watering. Then life got busy, and ever so often they would check on their tender plants. When the time came to pick the vegetables, they were disappointed to find that insects had attacked the stems and leaves, and rodents had eaten what little of the harvest survived. The next spring, the gardeners tried again, this time with even better soil and fertilizer, but their plants again succumbed to pests. It took some time, but the gardeners eventually learned what they needed to do. Check on their garden each day. It was fairly simple. Yes, it took a little time and was sometimes inconvenient, but a daily check-in allowed them to watch how their implants were growing, how their plants were progressing, and spot potential problems early, before they became disasters. So they made a visit to the garden part of their daily routine. These check-ins didn't take a long time or a lot of work. They just needed to be consistent. Our lives are much like a garden. We need care and keeping, daily care and keeping. If we're too passive about our personal growth and progress, weeds and pests creep in, and we don't end up reaping the happiness we'd hoped for. A daily personal check-in gives us a chance to see how we're doing and where we're going. As the biblical proverb says, to, quote, ponder the path, Proverbs 4:26. We can determine whether we're living by what we believe and valuing the things that really matter to us. We can catch problems while they're still small and prepare for hardships that might be coming. We can remove from our lives anything that could separate us from the guidance and strength of our Heavenly Father, our source of light and nourishment. The sun does not nourish a vegetable garden all at once. It happens day by day. Similarly, small amounts of pondering, praying, reading scripture, and showing love help our souls to blossom and continuously grow. Our daily habits and routines make all the difference in harvesting the kind of life we really want to live. Ponder. Words to consider in terms of how important, as that last line says, our daily habits and routines make all the difference in investing in harvesting the kind of life we really want to live. Now, as we take away that message, I want to share a kind of a parable about a father and his 11-year-old son. A father asked his 11-year-old son to help unload dirt from their small pickup truck into his mother's new garden boxes. His reaction was typical. I'm busy right now, the son said. He was playing Roblox on the family laptop, wearing sweatpants, an old T-shirt, lounging on the sofa, feet on the table. No, you're not, said the father. There was a fight, moaning excuses, the usual. Moments later, they went next to a wheelbarrow shoveling dirt. His son looked at him with flat eyes, his hood up, shoulders slumped, and said, why do we have to do this? The father thought for a moment, because he thought it was a valid question. Neither of them were all that into flowers or vegetables or any of the things that would be grown in those garden boxes. But his wife loved gardening. He thought and he waited, and finally he said, quote, when you love someone, you serve them. He went on telling his son that he wanted him to grow up to be the kind of man who serves his family, friends, and community. This, he said, while gesturing to the dirt and the garden boxes that I built last weekend, and the wheelbarrow and shovel, and the first of many truckloads of dirt we will unload over the next few weeks. This is what love looks like. The son didn't particularly like his dad's answer. The father could see it in the way his son reluctantly picked his shovel back up. They finished unloading the dirt. The next day, while the father was at work and his wife and kids had the day off because it was between terms, his wife sent him a picture. she'd picked up another load of dirt, and before she had a chance to unload it, the son voluntarily started working. When she asked him why, he shrugged and said, "Because I love you." The father said, "I've never been prouder of my son." So we serve and we do for others because we love them. Now, we love them by serving. And as we've kind of gathered from these two stories, the importance of working together as parents set the example for their children brings me to another story that was kind of tender when I read it. A teacher started checking homework done by her students. Her husband was strolling around with a smartphone playing his favorite game. When reading the last homework notes, the wife starts crying with silent tears. Her husband asked, "What's wrong?" His wife said, "Yesterday I gave homework to my students to write something on the topic, my wish." To which the husband said, "Okay, but why are you crying?" She said, "While checking the last notes, it made me cry." He curiously said, "What's written in the notes that makes you cry?" She said, "Listen." And then she read the note. Quote, "My wish is to become a smartphone. My parents love their smartphone very much. They care about their smartphone so much that sometimes they forget to care for me. When my father comes from the office tired, he has time for his smartphone, but not for me. When my parents are doing some important work and the smartphone is ringing, within a single ring, they attend the phone, but not to me, even if I'm crying. They play games on their smartphones, but not with me. When they are talking to someone on their smartphones, they never listen to me, even if I'm telling them something important. So, my wish is to become a smartphone." After listening to the note, my husband got emotional and asked the wife, "Who wrote this?" To which the wife said, "Our son." So it's important for us to remember that while gadgets are beneficial, and they are for our ease, not to cease the love amongst family and loved ones. Children see and feel everything that happens with and around them. Things get imprinted on their mind with an everlasting effect. Let's take due care so that they do not grow with any false impressions. Parents, grandparents, care providers, please put the phones down. Spend time with your kiddos. Play games together. Listen to your kiddos. Dance together. Cook or bake together. Take walks together. Just acknowledge your kids first and foremost. Tell them how much you love them every day, numerous times a day. Love on them. Show them that they mean the world to you. They need to hear you tell them daily, telling them you love them and how special they are to you. Show and give them your attention every day, because in a blink of an eye, this can all change for you, and then it will be too late. So to quote a good friend, the former mission president of the Arkansas Little Rock Mission and now serving as a member of the Quorum of 70, Elder Makolo, would remind us with regard to our purpose and our mission. He would quote the words, "Every day, every day, every day." Every day is the opportunity that we have to love our families, to love our children, to demonstrate it by our example and by our words. Which brings me to another story of how we can affect others. seems to be a theme today about gardening and planting and so forth. So this one is called The Farmer and His Good Corn. There was a farmer who grew excellent quality corn. Every year he won the award for the best grown corn. One year, a newspaper reporter interviewed him and learned something interesting about how he grew it. The reporter discovered the farmer shared his seed corn with his neighbors. The reporter asked, "How can you afford to share your best seed corn with your neighbors when they are entering corn in competition with yours each year?" "Hi, sir," said the farmer. "Didn't you know? The wind picks up pollen from the ripening corn and swirls it from field to field. If my neighbors grow inferior corn, cross-pollination will steadily degrade the quality of my corn. If I am to grow good corn, I must help my neighbors grow good corn." So it is with our lives. Those who want to live meaningfully and well must help enrich the lives of others. For the value of a life is measured by the lives it touches. And those who choose to be happy must help others find happiness. For the welfare of each is bound up with the welfare of all. Quote a LDS hymn, "Have I done any good in the world today?" And speaking of music, recently I was hearing some of the words from the famous song found in the movie, in the play, The Sound of Music. And I want to share those lyrics just for a moment in the scene that I saw that was illustrated that was very tender. We all know these words. "The hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs that have sung for a thousand years. The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song it hears. My heart wants to beat like the wings of the birds that rise from the lake to the trees. My heart wants to sigh like a chime that flies from a church on a breeze. To laugh like a brook when it tips and falls over stones on its way. To sing through the night like a lark who is learning to pray. I go to the hills when my heart is lonely. I know I will hear what I've heard before. My heart will be blessed with the sound of music. And I'll sing once more." Great movie, great message. The joy of music, romance, and family in this movie illustrate important life lessons for happiness. Yes, music does bring joy. This film showcased many moments where you see that music was benefiting Maria and the Von Trapp family. The scene that I'm thinking of specifically is where Captain Von Trapp is upset with Maria and is firing her, basically, and all of a sudden he starts hearing this singing coming from the house. And he struts into the house very indignant, and all of a sudden as he gets to the door, he sees his children singing, and he's touched. And he starts to nod his head in rhythm to the music. And then he starts to mouth the words of the music. And then he starts singing the words as he walks into the room, and his children stop singing in disbelief because here's this stern, very disciplined-minded father of theirs, all of a sudden singing. They then join in and sing with him. And as the scene progresses and the music is finished, he motions for them and they all come. And embrace each other and hug each other in love. So one of the valuable lessons we can take from this movie is that love makes life better, and that the magic of music can play a very instrumental role in that. As we think about the all-encompassing element in the sound of music, it is a powerful and almost magical entity that doesn't just unite the trap family. It also underlines how the strength of togetherness, love, and a sense of community could prevail even during the horrors of war, or in families that are dealing with strife, anxiety, and difficulties. So, the sound of music and the love that we have when we follow that feeling that we get as we have tender thoughts. Now, kind of a little more somber note. I was listening recently to a message delivered by one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and one of the 12 apostles. He reminds us, and the title of his talk was Remember Lot's Wife, you know, the idea of looking back and having regrets or looking back and remembering things. He said, when something is over and done with, when it has been repented of as fully as it can be repented of, when life has moved on as it should, and a lot of other wonderfully good things have happened since then, it is not right to go back and open up some ancient wound that the Son of God himself died trying to heal. People grow. Believe that people can change and improve. Is that faith? Yes. Is that hope? Yes. Is it charity? Yes. Above all, it is charity, the pure love of Christ. If something is buried in the past, leave it buried. Don't keep going back with your little sand pail and beach shovel to dig it up, wave it around, and then throw it at someone saying, hey, do you remember this? Splat. Well, guess what? Probably going to result in some ugly morsel being dug up out of your landfill with the reply, yeah, I remember it. Do you remember this? Splat. And soon enough, everyone comes out of that exchange dirty and muddy and unhappy and hurt. When in reality, what God our Father in heaven pleads for is cleanliness and kindness and happiness and healing. So as Elder Holland reminds us, forget the past, forgive, move on. Keep trying, keep trusting, keep believing, keep growing. Heaven will be cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever. Those are words to be well remembered from an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we fence builders or fence destroyers? Let us be builders and not destroyers. As we understand the importance of this mortal life, it's important to know that there are many things that we have the capacity to accomplish. A former president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, President Thomas S. Monson, has said, God left the world unfinished for man to work his skill upon. He left the electricity in the cloud, the oil in the earth. He left the rivers unbridged and the forests unfelled and the cities unbuilt. God gives to man the challenge of raw materials, not the ease of finished things. He leaves the pictures unpainted and the music unsung and the problems unresolved, that man might know the joys and glories of creation. It is my prayer that each of us will look to build positive, happy homes where we nurture and we garden and we grow for together as families. And I share this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
with songs they have sung for a thousand years. The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song it hears. My heart wants to beat like the wings of the birds that rise from the lake to the trees. My heart wants to sigh like a chime that flies from a church on a breeze. To laugh like a brook when it trips and falls over stones on its way. To sing through the night like a lark who is learning to pray.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.